My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
Saturday night get together here on CBS Sports Radio. Jody Mack coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance your current one, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there for home loan solutions that fit your life. Rocket can. All right, the Hot Stove League is in place. All right, it's just warming up. There's some embers, but it's nice to be talking about the offseason in baseball, specifically if you're a Phillies guy who got beat in the World Series. But 29 out of the 30 teams looking to move on and get their offseason underway. We're going to talk about that with our next guest. He is the lead MLB columnist for the New York Times and also baseball author whose newest book, The Grandest Stage, History of the World Series, just out in print these last couple of weeks. Tyler Kepner from the New York Times with me. TK, I read some of the reviews on your social media site, on your Twitter, playing to rave reviews so far this year, with this new book, buddy.
Yeah, thanks, Jody. It's been really well received. I think people really took it in the spirit that I wrote it, just with sort of a real genuine passion for the sport and the event, and I think it sounds like that really came through to a lot of people. So that's really cool.
No, you had your release date as the World Series was ongoing. Well, now you got one that's not in the book. So with the way that it played out, Astros beating the Phillies, some exciting games. Do you need to do an addendum immediately?
I don't think immediately, but if I ever do, there'll be some interesting things from this one. Certainly the second no-hitter in World Series history, a combined one, but still. You had the Phillies hitting the 5 home runs and Harper's first pitchy season in Philadelphia in the World Series. He hits a home run. You had a tremendous game 1 and game 5, really some great defensive plays and some comebacks. And of course Alvarez with the big blast in game 6. So a lot to unpack from that series maybe if there is a future edition, I'll get into it for sure.
Which, by the way, anybody who's complaining about a combined no-hitter in the World Series, come on, it's not Don Larson. You're right, it's not, but get used to it. That's the way no-hitters are going to be had going forward. We just don't have pitchers pitching complete games, even no-hitters anymore. So can put those complaints on the back burner. Here's my complaint. 29 of the 30 teams should be ready to move on and get ready for their offseason and upgrade to give them a better chance next year. The one team that's just coming off its victory parade, it probably comes out of this week the most dysfunctional. The general manager who just led the team to a World Series, 2 straight World Series appearance, 1 win, is given his walking papers by the Astros that his contract was up and they only offered him a 1-year dead duck kind of extension. What the hell's going on down in Houston?
Yeah, it was rumored all throughout the postseason. You kept hearing it, and you could sort of almost feel the tension between James Click and Jim Crane. It just was not a great relationship that they had there. I think Jim Crane really clicked well with Dusty, but not as much with Click. It's still very much Jeff Luhnow's team, he's long gone. I actually talked to him before Game Six. He was over there in Madrid with one of his soccer teams that he runs now, happily away from baseball after the sign stealing scandal forced him out. But it's really still his infrastructure in place there. But Click was smart enough to keep it going and to continue, what Luno had started. And I think he and Crane obviously clashed on some moves made or not made. Crane, I wonder if, he maybe wanted a little more credit for this thing. He talked openly about having to be more involved than he had in the past. So, the owners get a taste of success they maybe start to think that they have a whole heck of a lot to do with it. And I think his smartest move of all really was giving Jeff Luno a blank slate and saying, do what you can to turn this thing around. And Luno made a lot of enemies, but he really did turn it around.
So the fact that you win a World Series and you can't get a new contract for more than 1 year and you end up walking away from the team, they've got to have another general manager. I know they also let go his right-hand man, the assistant general manager. So they're looking for someone. You want to get someone to fill the bill quickly because free agency has already gotten underway. Does anybody want that job, knowing what Jim Crane just did to the GM that won him a World Series?
Yeah, that's a huge red flag for sure. To think about, well, you'd be inheriting a really great team with a chance to keep winning, but it doesn't seem like you'd have the kind of autonomy that you'd want or whatever. But then again, there's only 30 jobs like that. So if you take that job, you'd be going into it with your eyes open. And you'd be able to obviously talk with Jim Crane and hopefully get a favorable view of him from your working relationship. So obviously there's a lot to like about that organization, I think he'll find the right guy. Whether he has that guy in mind already, whether it's David Stearns or something, I don't know. We should find out soon, I guess.
Yeah, Stern, the former president of the Brewers, stepped aside at the end of the year, said he's just going to do consulting work for Milwaukee. He wasn't looking to go anywhere else, but he had formerly come from Houston. His is the name that moves right to the top of the rumor list. Were you buying when he said, no, I'm just stepping away from the game. I'm going to be lesser involved going forward, or is he going to be more involved with his old team?
Well, I suppose he could. I think he has some. He's a New York guy, but I think he has some family connections down there in Houston, and obviously a track record of being right by Jeff Luno's side when they were building that thing up back then. And obviously he's done a great job with the Brewers. So I wouldn't be shocked. I think he's sincere in saying that. He did want to step back but if. Crane comes up with a great offer and all that stuff, it wouldn't shock me, because once you get one of these jobs and you're pretty good at it, you kind of want to keep doing it at some point. But the fact that he just stepped aside, if he really is feeling like he needs a little break, I'm not sure taking over the world champs is the best recipe for a break either.
With an owner who likes to be very hands-on. Exactly right. Tyler Kepner, MLB columnist and author, our guest here on CBS Sports Radio. All right, before we get to free agency, this week MLB sent out 14 free agent qualifying offers. Pretty big number. They've been less than that the last couple of years, but some guys that were absolutely no-brainers, the Trey Turners, the Bogarts, the DeGroms, the Swansons, the Rodons of the world. No great surprises, but there were a couple that did kind of surprise me, both Nate Eovaldi, who has been more hurt than good over the last couple of years, and Jock Peterson of the Giants, who we know has good power, but isn't much of a fielder or a runner anymore. $19.65 million for 1 year for any of these guys. How many people are actually going to say, yeah, I can play for $19.5 million?
Yeah, I think this could be a year where we see a few guys accepted. I think the teams really dared these players to take it, figuring that, hey, a one-year deal isn't such a bad gamble. And maybe some of these guys will think twice about going into the free agent market if they have that qualifying offer attached to them. So specifically, if I was Martin Perez or Tyler Anderson or Eovaldi or Jock Peterson, I think I would take it. You can't get it again next year. If you go out and have another good season, you'll do well in free agency anyway. And $19 million is probably more than your value right now in the industry. So, I think in all those cases, there's a decent chance that we see those guys come right back rather than risk going out into a market where they'd encounter some skepticism. At least Eovaldi, over his health, and Perez and Anderson over their track records. And, their market would be a little depressed because of the draft pick compensation attached.
Not a bad hedge position to be in, getting $19.5 million. Good on those guys if they do take the offers. All right, let's talk about free agency. It's officially gotten underway. More retaining players than anybody changing teams. The Astros, I guess it was the owner who cut the deal, brought back Rafael Montero on a three-year deal coming out of the bullpen for them at a good number. The Mets got Edwin Diaz done at a big deal before free agency even kicked in. And Robert Suarez, the 31-year-old rookie for the Padres this year, got a nice five-year deal as well. Emphasis on bullpen pieces. Does that tell you something for free agency overall, or we'll just get these out of the way and then go on from there?
Yeah, it tells me it's going to be a really good year for the players. if you look at Rafael Montero, I mean, he had a great season for sure. 71 games, and 230 something ERA. He was great in the postseason, but $34.5 million over 3 years for a setup guy is shocking to me. Especially a guy who, was really bad for most of last year with Seattle. And I understand he's not the same pitcher and he had a great year, but that was a stunning number to me. Suarez has more of a successful track record in the sense that he was really good overseas, but he only has one year in the big leagues, and he was able to get 5-46 with an opt out. So, and of course Edwin Diaz, the first $100 million closer. So that shows me that these are moves that teams figure they could do early, the relief market can sometimes be the first to crack, but man, these are high prices for middle relievers, especially when we see how volatile relievers can be and how often you can just find them for very little money from your farm system or off the waiver wire if you just teach a guy a new pitch or something. So it's a little curious to me, but it probably shows that there's a lot of money out there and players are going
to
get it.
Money to be had. And Edwin Diaz got the biggest chunk, over $100 million. And, oh, by the way, deferred money in the contract, not going to be paid off for 20 years. I know we've had Bobby Bonilla Day for the last couple of decades. Are you and I going to be around long enough to see Edwin Diaz days when the Mets have to write checks in the middle of the summer for Edwin Diaz, who's long since moved on?
Well, hopefully they're not investing that, with a shady investor this time like they did with the Bonilla situation. I tell you though, man, if I was a player, I would want deferred money because it's a check on losing your fortune. Like if you know that you're going to have something good coming in, when you're old and gray, man, I'd take that. Because you got plenty to go around right now, but I would take it a little bit later. So good for Edwin, I guess. And maybe we'll have Edwin Diaz Day.
Nice little 401k that the checks keep rolling in long after you're done playing. One guy who's definitely playing one more year at a $20 million number is Clayton Kershaw for the Dodgers. I guess the deal's not official, but everybody on their brother is reporting it has done 1 year and $20 million. Was there any chance that he was ever going to pitch for someone other than the L.A. Dodgers?
Well, you hear the Rangers, but I don't know if you really hear that from Clayton or just because of the logical connection. That he's from Dallas and sometimes guys want that one experience of playing in their hometown, and the Rangers are sort of aggressive again in free agency. But I think Clayton really understands, he's smart enough to understand what a good thing he has going there in LA, and he knows how to be a Dodger. He has his routine, he knows he's going to get a chance to win every year, and you know, it's not so bad. I mean, you know, you go home and then there could be a whole new set of unforeseen pressures that, you know, Kershaw probably doesn't need in his life. I've always got the feeling he likes to keep things as simple as possible. And you know, I get $20 million to go back to the Dodgers is not so bad. I mean, he holds all their pitching records for the most part, won a championship there, and he's always going to have a chance for more. So it's logical all the way around, and the Dodgers really need him. I mean, he's not – I don't know if he's going to be a 30-start guy, but even for 22 or so starts, he's usually outstanding. And they you know, with Buehler out this year after Tommy John, you know, they need – you know, and Gons, well, what's his name? Anderson, a free agent, and Andrew Heaney, a free agent. That was a move that made sense to take care of right away.
The most intriguing thing about free agency to me, and it may get going within the next couple of days or it might not, is the shortstop market. Again, you've got some really big guys. Carlos Correa back in again when he was in it last year when it was a big market. This year, Trey Turner and Bogarts and Swanson, those are four all-star level shortstops. How is the timing going to go? Is it going to be who goes first, who waits for last? Is there a balance between the two? How do you think those shortstops are going to come off the table?
Yeah, that's always the big question. I mean, Correa waited a long time last year after the lockout and everything. He hired Scott Boras, and you know, Boras worked his magic with a huge base salary for 1 year, and he used that escape hatch of the opt-out clause. So, sometimes if a guy takes a long time 1 year, he tries to do it quickly the next year. But with Boras, you know, he doesn't usually do things quickly. So I don't know if that really applies here. You know, we saw Trey Turner come out early with that John Hamm narrated video talking about how awesome he is. You know, and you hear a lot of things about him and the Phillies and all that. You know, Bogarts, I think, wants to be a Red Sox, but I would, if I was another team, I'd pursue him aggressively. I think he's going to age really well, and he's just terrific. So I don't know how the timing is going to go. I think that's what everybody's wondering. You know, whoever makes the first move is going to want to make sure that they don't, that they don't set a bar that, you know, people are going to ridicule later. So, you know, it's a very delicate balance because, you know, you don't want to be last. Like sometimes you get less than you thought. But if you're first and you're the first one stepping out there, you might, you know, your contract might get dwarfed pretty soon.
Right. That's why it's as intriguing as it is. Certainly at the shortstop market, but just overall, because this is a unique free agency because 2 years ago we were coming off COVID. Last year free agency stopped and started with the collective bargaining agreement not being done and the owners locking out the players and then a mad dash once they got a deal in place. This should be back to business as usual. Will it?
Yeah, you know, where they're going to actually have the winter meetings again and I wonder, even in the years before COVID, there was this real habit of just waiting and waiting and waiting to the point where a lot of the players thought they were being colluded against, you know, because they were getting similar offers and stuff. So I don't get that sense that it's really like that anymore. I think teams are going to want to be aggressive. Maybe it's the extra wild card out there. We saw what the Phillies did, you know, with a couple of big free agent moves last year, you know, and they were able to get to the World Series. So, yeah, I'm maybe it's just wishful thinking, but I'm pretty hopeful that we'll have some moves starting fairly soon, and that it won't be this long, drawn out thing like it has been in the past.
All right, if people are already suffering from withdrawal after the World Series and they need something to fill the void, where can anybody get the easiest way to pick up the grandest stage history of the World Series by Tyler Kepner?
Well, wherever you know, wherever you get your books, really, like they say. I mean, you can get it on Amazon. It's been there for, you know, it's been out for a month now, and the Penguin Random House website, a publisher, or your local bookstore, wherever you find it. I think it was meant to be a book that's sort of timeless. Obviously, it won't have this year's World Series in it because it came out before that happened, but it deals with universal themes from the World Series. You know, dealing with pressure and managing in the series and unsung heroes and a lot of fun things like that, and I really go through and try to tell stories because that's what I think I do best. And it's not a chronology. It's not a reference book. It's just a lot of fun stories about the World Series, and hopefully, people have a better understanding of it and maybe get their baseball fix in without any games right now.
During the offseason, I'm sure there are going to be a lot of baseball fans out there looking to do just that. That's the look with the book. Appreciate your enlightening us for a couple minutes here tonight, Tyler. I'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thanks a lot, Jody.
My pleasure. Tyler Kepner, MLB columnist, lead columnist for the New York Times, and his new book, The Grandest Stage, History of the World Series, available where you get your better books. All right, Jody Mack coming back. I got better phone lines. Well, at least that's my braggadocious point. We'll see. You get on them. Do so now. 855-212-4227. Jody Mack Saturday Night Get-Together here on CBS Sports Radio.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.